So this morning, Prabhu, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, and we're doing 35 and 36. 36, of course, is what we see on the board. Before I continue, first of all, just humble, prostrate myself under the lotus feet of Maharaj here, who will be giving class on Sunday, I believe, yes. So please, if forgive me for any errors or anything, and the questions and answers, of course, go to Maharaj, because I'm most unqualified, but what I'll do is, at least I'll try my best this morning. Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj. So I'll just read, first of all, from chapter 1 of the third canto, verse 35, and then go on to 36. O sober one, others, such as Hidika, Charudeshna, Gada, and the son of Satyabhama, who accept Lord Sri Krishna as a soul of the self and thus follow his path without deviation. Are they well? So just very briefly, before I begin the actual, go to the next verse, this is, of course, is Vidura asking Uddhava, actually, about the more junior members of the Yadu dynasty. For example, Hidika being one of the Yadu princes, Charudeshna being the son of Krishna Rukmini, and Satyabhama being Krishna's third wife. So he's basically asking about some of the ladies, some of the wives, and some of the children of Krishna and those related to Lord Krishna. Because Vidura, of course, is a great devotee, so he's asking about them. So that leaves us on now to this present verse, verse 36. Okay, English translation by Srila Prabhupada. Also let me inquire whether Maharaj Yudhisthira is now maintaining the kingdom according to religious principles and with respect for the path of religion. Formerly, Duryodhana was burning with envy because Yudhisthira was being protected by the arms of Krishna and Arjuna as if they were his own arms. So the purport for this particular verse. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the emblem of religion. When he was ruling his kingdom with the help of Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the opulence of his kingdom surpassed all imaginations of the opulence of the kingdom of heaven. His actual arms were Lord Krishna and Arjuna, and thus he surpassed everyone's opulence. Duryodhana, being envious of this opulence, planned so many schemes to put Yudhisthira into difficulty. And at last, the Battle of Kurukshetra was brought about. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira was again able to rule his legitimate kingdom, and he reinstated the principles of honour and respect for religion. That is the beauty of a kingdom ruled by a pious king like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Om Agyanam Tiriram Dasya Gijanjana Shalakaya Taksho Om Manitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Titanya Manobistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namustate Tatsakanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pananami Hari Priye Vantakaupa Trubascha Kripo Simbureva Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Kudavani Pacharine Nivasesha Shunyavadi Prashachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this part of the Bhagavatam, quite obviously, they're talking about events based around the Mahabharata at this point. Of course, the Bhagavatam is the creme de la creme of the Vedas. So there's you have Ramayana, the Bhagavatam, you have so many of the Puranas, and even key aspects of the Mahabharata are all packed within the Srimad Bhagavatam. because Sukadeva Goswami has sitting there with Maharaj Pritchett and other sages and great pious and brahmanas and so forth. He's only got a few days left to live. So therefore Sukadeva Goswami is giving him the creme de la creme in the last few days of his life. And that's one of the reasons why the Bhagavatam is so important. It is the essence of all the Vedas, the essence of the Vedanta Sutra. So even the Mahabharata, we can find a summary or some main points in the much greater work, of course, the Mahabharata. So at this point, what's happened, of course, Vidura, very, very pious person, of course, he used to be serving in the of course, in Hastinapur. But he saw how Duryodhan and Karna and Shakuni and everybody was not even prepared to give the Pandavas their kingdom back, even after 14 years. And by this time, Vidura just simply had enough of their attitude. He said, I'm done with this. I'm leaving. So, of course, he leaves the comforts of the palaces of Hastinapur and goes through austerities and eventually travels through to Surat and, of course, and so on and so forth. Eventually meets Uddhava on the banks of the Yamuna. So Vidura, in the context of this verse, is asking, how is everyone? How are the Yadus? That's where his heart was. He was a devotee, Vidura. So that's revealing here the piety of the Vidura. Of course, someone might ask, Bhishma Dev, and why didn't he do the same? And the reason is Vidura was not bound. He did not owe Duryodhana anything. So he wasn't bound. He was free, you see, to do just this. Of course, the others were obliged to, according to their promises and their position, to serve the kingdom of Hastinapur no matter what. Vidura didn't have those same ropes, was able to express his heart. So that's quite important. I think that's the context of this verse, actually. So, of course, the main point here is Yudhisthira. This is the main thing that comes out in this verse here. And, of course, Duryodhana's envy of Yudhisthira, actually, of course, is one of the main themes that carries the Mahabharata and the exile of the Pandavas. But most important is the character of Yudhisthira himself, the personification of Dharma. Of course, Yudhisthira was the eldest son of King Pandu and Queen Kunti. But his actual celestial father was, of course, Dharmaraj himself. And, of course, Yudhisthira must have inherited some of that, of course, very much so. Yudhisthira's, manifest father, as it were, Pandu, was the king of Hastinapur. But, of course, he shot a Brahmin and his wife by accident when they were in the disguise of a deer. And, therefore, Pandu was cursed. Therefore, of course, Queen Kunti had to search elsewhere for actual fathers. Therefore, all the Pandavas, of course, have celestial fathers, Indra and so forth, and Dharmaraj and so forth here. So all of the Pandavas were almost like demigods when compared with the average person. And not least, of course, Yudhisthira. Now, of course, people say that Yudhisthira was the eldest of the Pandavas, but actually Kunti had another son that was senior to Yudhisthira. Who was that? Karna, yes. But they didn't know that at the time. They didn't, in fact, know this until quite late on in the Mahabharata. Yudhisthira, being Yudhisthira, after everything that he'd been through, all the austerities, all the insults of Duryodhana, all the put-downs, all the challenges, even the attempt to murder Bhishma by poisoning a cake or burning them in a palace made of flammable materials. After everything Duryodhana had done and Karna's allegiance to Duryodhana, Yudhisthira, when he found out that Karna was his senior, Yudhisthira put Karna on the throne and avoid the war. But even then, it could not be avoided. The ball was already rolling, the dice had been cast, quite literally, and the battle was set and unavoidable. So this is the... But of course, Yudhisthira's true prowess was shown in his unflinching adherence to Satya, truth, and Dharma, righteousness, which were more precious to him than anything else, even the opinions of Bhima and Arjuna, who basically were quite prepared to fight a lot earlier than the Bhagavata, etc. Yudhisthira, let's kill this Duryodhana. No. I lost in the game of dice. Of course, Yudhisthira was criticized for falling for the trick of Duryodhan and Karna and especially Shakuni with the game of dice. It was a trick all along. But Yudhisthira could not resist that challenge. Why? Because he regarded himself as, it is my duty as a Kshatriya never to refuse a challenge. And he could not resist the game of dice. Of course, they lost everything. Shakuni's actual, the dice that was owned by Shakuni were actually made from his father's bones. And he had a benediction that he could never lose with this dice. So the whole thing was a setup, and the Pandavas were defeated in that game, quite obviously. And they lost everything, not just once, but twice. They lost one game of dice. Duryodhan took everything away, humiliated, of course, Draupadi, and still, Dhritarashtra, of course, father of Duryodhan, said, actually, no, give Pandavas, okay, this game of dice has gone too far. But again, they challenged the Pandavas to a game of dice, and again, Yudhisthira lost. Of course, in those days, being a brother or being a senior really meant something in those days. Because passionate as Bhima and Arjuna were, still they had to accept Yudhisthira's decisions. Let's play again. Oh, we lost. Now we have to be in exile for 14 years. And the final of those years, in complete incognito. In other words, the deal was, after losing the game of dice, that if they were caught during the last year, back into the forest again, and everything will be a waste of time. So, of course, during that last year, the Pandavas had to be extra careful. The stories, for example, during those years in exile, before they had to be completely incognito, Duryodhan and Karna and so forth and his soldiers would actually like to poke fun at the Pandavas. So great was his envy. Why? Because Duryodhan did not want to give up the throne and give it back to the Pandavas, who were the rightful heirs to the throne. Dhritarashtra, the blind king, was blinded not just physically but also spiritually. We know the story, and I won't distract you. But of course, he was only a steward of the throne, the rightful throne, which should have gone to Yudhisthira and or Karna. But Duryodhan was obviously not going to give it up so easily. There's one story, actually, where the Duryodhan said to Karna, I wonder how the Pandavas are getting on. I wonder how much they're suffering. I wonder if they're hungry. I wonder if they're kind of like miserable. I wonder if Draupadi, their wife, their shared wife, is finding the austerities in the forest a bit too much after being brought up and living in palaces. Let's go and spy on them. Let's go and check it out. Ooh. Such was his mentality. Such was his envy. But once, instead of finding actually the Pandavas, first of all, they came across, I think it was some Gandharvas, celestial beings, including ladies bathing in a nearby lake. So Duryodhan started to go, oh, I've got my soldiers, I'll just kind of, you know, be a bit frivolous with them. So and what happened was the male Gandharvas were not very impressed, and there was a fight that ensued between the Gandharvas and Duryodhan and his men. Of course, the Gandharvas, being celestial warriors, quite easily defeated Duryodhan, and they tied him up and humiliated him. That must have been a bit of a commotion, and the Pandavas heard all about this. It must have been quite loud. There must have been a lot of shouting, and so they learned, oh, the Gandharvas have captured Duryodhan. And Arjuna and Bhima went, ha ha ha, great, this is a good opportunity now. This, you know, and Yudhisthira, no, brothers. He is our cousin. He's our cousin. You know, he's one of us. He's a human being. He's our cousin. Let's us rescue him. And Arjuna and Bhima went, what? After all he has done? And Yudhisthira said, it is the right thing to do. He was coming to spy on us and humiliate us, yes. But he wasn't coming to fight us at that time. Therefore, so basically, Arjuna, of course, defeated the Gandharvas, and Duryodhan was untied and freed. Duryodhan, of course, was not particularly grateful, was even more humiliated. Of course, he owed The Pandav is a benediction at that, the Arjuna a benediction at that point, actually. However, so it all kind of came together later on. But this gives you an idea of some of the character, actually, of Yudhisthira. How he wasn't angry, he wasn't vengeful, he was patient, 14 years after all. He was detached, he was merciful, he was forgiving, he was surrendered to the Lord and a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Of course, there's many, many trials and tribulations so that we all know that are described in the Mahabharata. And every time Yudhisthira was revealing all his good qualities. And we should, of course, as devotees, be studying, actually, or become very aware, become conscious of the life of Yudhisthira. Sometimes as devotees, it is myself, I have anger and I have my anattas inside my heart. But if we think of Yudhisthira, how he behaved, how he forgave, how he was detached, then I think this would do us all a favour, for he was the personification, if you like, of Dharma itself. And this is why, of course, Krishna sided with the Pandavas, mainly because of Yudhisthira. Once in the forest of Pandavas, it was actually during their final year of exile, I think it was, or near the beginning of it, and they went deeper into the forest at one point. And of course, it was hot. All of the Pandavas and, of course, Draupadi were very hot and thirsty. And I think they sent, I think it was one of the, I think it was Nakula. Nakula, go and find somewhere. So Nakula went off on his own somewhere and said, I'll find a lake. So he goes running off to this lake. And there's this big, very fresh-looking lake. And, of course, you imagine how warm it was. Maybe it was the summer. Pandavas hadn't drunk anything for a while. Nakula goes running up to the side of the lake, cupped his hands, and there's a crane on an island in the lake that says, do not drink from the water. First you have to answer my questions. Nakula went, what? I'll drink from the lake and I'll go and tell my brothers that there's fresh water here. It was poison. The crane was right. If you do not answer his questions and you drink from the lake without answering his questions, you die of poison. And that is exactly what happened to Nakula. He was dead. The Pandavas are waiting and waiting and waiting. They thought, where's Nakula? Sahadev, I'll go and check it out. I'll go and see what's going on. Sahadev, I think Nakula, he went over here this way to the north. Carried on, saw the lake and saw... I'm not sure, did he see the dead brother? I think he did see his brother's dead body, actually. But anyway, regardless, Sahadeva also was warned by this crane. If you drink from the lake, you're going to die. You've got to answer some questions first. Sahadeva didn't listen. Same thing, he died. Bhima, same process, drank from the lake, died. Arjun, same process. Yudhisthira at this point must have been feeling a bit lonely. Where were my brothers? But Yudhisthira was a bit different. Being the personification of Dharma, wiser, intelligent. He didn't mind asking a few questions. He was more interested in debate and questions than he was actually fighting. Even though he was expert with the spear, he was still a Kshatriya. But he was basically had Brahminical qualities. In fact, Yudhisthira... rejected the what we would call the caste system, in the sense that he believed that someone is a Kshatriya or someone is a Brahmin, not by birth only, but by behavior. That is the only... So Yudhisthira, of course, you know, if someone was claiming to be a Brahmin or born in a Brahmin family, okay, fine. But what are the Brahminical qualities? Mercy, austerity, truth, study, learned, and so forth, you know. Of course, Yudhisthira was a Kshatriya, but also had all these Brahminical qualities as well. So it was Yudhisthira's turn to drink from the lake. Yudhisthira found the lake. Okay, I'm thirsty. The crane speaks. Do not drink from the lake. First, you have to answer my questions. And Yudhisthira, of course, being intelligent, realized his brothers were absent. For, I think I better start answering some questions here. You know, he was smart enough to realize that. So, of course, course, it wasn't actually a crane. It was actually a yaksha, or what appeared to be a yaksha. So the yaksha said, okay, I've got some questions for you. And Yudhishthira, oh, well, it's not a crane, it's a yaksha. Okay, ask away. So these, what I've done is there's actually quite a few questions that I've discovered, but I've just selected just a few, which I consider to be the most poignant. So this yaksha by the lake turns to Yudhishthira and says, all right, now you have to answer my questions. If I'm satisfied with your answers, then you'll be fine. You can drink as much water from this beautiful lake as you can, and the poison will not have an effect. First question. Well, first question for me anyway. What constitutes the divinity of the Brahmanas? What even is their pious practice? And what practice is of the impious? Yudhishthira replied, the study of the Vedas constitutes their divinity of the Brahmanas. Their asceticism constitutes behavior. And slander, defamation, is their impiety. In other words, Brahmanas, they, if they criticize or they slander others, this is seen in the Brahminical world as being very offensive, because, of course, Brahmanas don't fight, but they use words. So they have to be careful in how what they say. They're accountable for offences, aparad and so forth. Whereas Kshatriyas, they're always shouting and fighting at each other anyway. So next question to Yudhishthira. Yaksha turns round and says, all right, what is heavier than the earth itself? What is higher than the heavens? What is fleetier than the wind? And what is more numerous than grass? Yudhishthira says, He says, the mother is like the earth. Only the mother is heavier than the earth itself. For mother, the earth itself is mother. And the father is higher than the heavens. The mind is fleetier or more rapid than the wind. And thoughts are more numerous than grass. So Yudhishthira here is showing great respect for the family tradition and great respect for Mother Earth and one's actual mother and father, but also saying, as we read in the Gita, that the mind is more difficult to control than the wind, and thoughts are numerous. So again, wisdom here from Maharaj Yudhishthira. Another question came. Who is the friend of the exile? Who is the friend of the householder? Who is the friend of one who is ill, and the friend of one who is dying? Yudhishthira, the friend of the exile in a distant land is his companion, even if it is a deer, a dog, or a low-class person. The friend of the householder is his wife. Any married man will understand you need that as a situation, otherwise you have an unhappy... The friend of one who is ill is the physician, and the friend of one who is dying is mercy and charity. So you can just see immediately by Maharaj's responses, very wise. And of course, at this point, the yaksha is very, very impressed with Yudhishthira. But he wants to ask more. The yaksha himself is so impressed with Yudhishthira's responses, he asks more questions. All right, Yudhishthira. What is the highest refuge, protection of virtue, fame, heaven, and happiness? Yudhishthira answers, the highest refuge of virtue is generosity. Of heaven, it is truth, and of happiness is good behavior. What is the most valuable of all possessions? What is the best of all gains? And what is the best of all kinds of happiness? Yudhishthira replied, knowledge is the most valuable of all possessions. Interesting. In other words, here we can use a modern, because we live in a modern capitalist society where a lot of people have a lot of possessions. But is it making anyone any happier without knowledge? If people's only understanding of life is based on what they own, house, car, possessions, digital TV or whatever it might be, job, without any knowledge, without any spiritual knowledge, this will not bring any happiness. So therefore, Yudhisthira is saying, actually the highest kind of happiness is knowledge of Krishna consciousness, spiritual knowledge. So very wise answers here. Health is the best of all gains, and self-contentment is the best of all kinds of happiness also. So this is interesting. So if one is self-satisfied, then one is happy. If one is never self-satisfied, it doesn't, as I mentioned earlier, it doesn't matter how many possessions you have, it doesn't matter about your financial situation or your career or whatever external situation you're in. If you don't have any, if you're not self-satisfied by nature, you never will be. There was once when there was somebody I knew who was, I think they went to a holy place somewhere actually, and they came back and said, "How was it?" He said, "Prabhu, there's one problem. I took my mind with me. I should have left my mind. I took my mind with me, so I didn't get as much as I should have out of the holy Dharma. I was just on the mental platform all the time. Therefore, he didn't truly enter into the Dharma." So Yudhisthira here would say, yeah, you've got to be self-contentment. This is the best thing you can be. Next question. For what does one give to brahmanas? What does comedians and dancers, what do they want? And what do the servants of the king seek? So what do the brahmanas want? What do they deserve? What do comedians and dancers and entertainers, what do they deserve? And what do the servants of the king want? It is for religious merit that one owes to the brahmanas, that one gives to the brahmanas. This is what satisfies them. It is for fame that one gives to the comedians and the dancers. Hey, well done, well done. You know, that's their reward. That this is their reciprocation. For supporting and helping, this is what the servants of the king appreciate. They actually enjoy serving the king if they know they're helping the king, if they are good servants. And obtaining relief from fear is that why one serves the king. In other words, if one is serving a king with humility and a good attitude, then they, the servant's motive, they also, was what they want in return, is to feel protected by the king. It is the duty of a kshatriya to protect his people, but to protect his servants as well, in exchange for their service and their loyalty. And this is something, obviously, that Yudhisthira knew very well. I hope you're enjoying this, by the way, because I love these questions. Okay, because this is basically what this is doing, is it is summarizing all the character and knowledge of Yudhisthira. Of course, Duryodhan was only in comparison, the envious Duryodhan was only interested in himself and his friends and those loyal to him. He took advantage of Dhritarashtra, his father's soft nature. He had a soft spot. Dhritarashtra had a soft spot for Duryodhan. Of course he did. But still, he did not correct his son. And that was Dhritarashtra's greatest blindness. If you truly love someone, sometimes you have to be cruel to be kind. Sometimes correction is the greatest form of service to children. If children are not corrected when they're wrong, then of course this is actually the adharmic for parents. So basically Duryodhan was a spoilt prince who was accustomed to getting his own way. So much so, he was not prepared. Even the pious, humble Yudhisthira was in the eyes of Duryodhan, was the greatest demon. Next question. Who is truly happy? What is the greatest wonder? What is the greatest mystery in this world? And what is the path? Yudhisthira thought for a moment. Good question. A person without any debts is truly happy. That doesn't just mean financial debts. It could mean, you know, well, you owe me one. You know, I do you a favor, you come back, you, I want to use something from you now. If you don't have these things, then you're happy. The greatest mystery, the greatest wonder in this world, is this. This is actually a well-known point. Regardless of the countless numbers of people that die every day in this world, the fact that we all know these bodies are going to be perished, still, the greatest wonder is that no one really acts as if that is the case. Everyone thinks they're eternal. Their bodies are, they are eternal, but their bodies are not eternal. But everyone acts as if they think they can have their possessions forever. And when they lose them, when there is loss, they blame God. They blame each other. And they're completely surprised. But Eudistes is saying, it's surprising that they're surprised. Don't they know? Haven't they figured it out yet? This material world is, and the life is temporary. So their only true shelter is Lord Krishna. The heart, then he adds, the heart alone is the path along which greats have tread, with great sages have tread. I'll skip some of the questions and answers so that we won't have time. But let me continue. What is said to be knowledge? What tranquility or calmness? What is that? What is true mercy? And what is actual simplicity? Yudhisthira. True knowledge is that of divinity. True tranquility is that found in the heart. Mercy consists in wishing happiness to all, regardless. And simplicity consists in equanimity of heart. What is ignorance and what is pride? What also is to be understood by idleness? What is true idleness? And what is to be spoken of as true grief? Yudhisthira replied, true ignorance is not knowing one's duties. Pride is a consciousness of one's being himself an actor or sufferer in life. Idleness consists in not discharging one's duties. And ignorance is grief. So what Maharaj Yudhisthira here is emphasizing is to follow out one's duties according to one's natural propensity. If one has no duties, regardless of what those duties are, then one cannot be happy. In other words, one has to perform acts in this world. Of course, a sage or a hermit, their duty may be indeed to not particularly do a lot of practical things, maybe meditate in a cave, but that's their duty. You ask a kshatriya to do the work of a brahmin, or the brahmana to do the work of a kshatriya, or vaishya to do the work of a brahmin, we have incompatibility because the duties are inconsistent with their nature. That is why in ancient times vana and ashram was so important to Vedic culture. And Yudhisthira is referring to this. What is one's duty? You perform that. If you perform the duty of another or you don't perform any duty, you will be unhappy. True happiness is serving the Lord according to your love, according to your propensity. It doesn't mean that no one ever does anyone else, you know, especially in the cases where there's great need or an emergency. It's not that, oh, I can't do that. That's not my service, boo-boo. You know, that's no. But in general, one should basically understand one's nature and serve and act accordingly in Krishna consciousness. What man should be regarded as truly learned? And who should be called an actual atheist? And who is called ignorant? What is desire, real desire? And what are the sources of that desire? And what is envy? Yudhisthira knew the answers to this straight away. One who knows his duties should be regarded as learned. One who is ignorant is one who is atheist. Desire is due to the objects of possession, and envy is nothing but grief. It's interesting, isn't it? Duryodhana, of course, who very much in many ways was very envious, as we've discussed, was not a happy person. During those 14 years of exile, he thought it was going to be a happy time for him because the Pandavas were not around, hanging around. He had the throne to himself. He could walk through the palaces of Hastinapur. Bhishma was there, Dronacharya was there, and all these others were there. The servants were there, Karna was there, Shakuni was there. His wives and queens and many brothers were there. But he knew this, that 14 years, they're going to come back. And that envy made him unhappy all this time. Because, just like Kamsa. Kamsa was the enemy of Krishna. But he was constantly thinking of Krishna. How can I kill Krishna? When's he going to be born? How can I send demons to try and kill baby Krishna? Constantly, even though Krishna wasn't there physically with him, Krishna was there in his heart. Duryodhana was constantly thinking of Yudhisthira and how to get one on him, even though they were miles away in the forest. But Yudhisthira is saying this only brought him grief. So we have to let go of our envy. We have to let go of our ego. We have to let go of our need for revenge. These are the anattas which will keep us in this material world. And this wisdom of the Yudhisthira makes this so easy to understand, and yet, of course, it's not so easy to actually practice. Imagine that Yudhisthira had so much more wealth, elephants and horses and cavalry and gold and jewels. He lost it in a quick game of dice. Well, you know. It wasn't so easy for the other Pandavas, actually. Especially when Draupadi was insulted. That was a line that was crossed. And that is real. Just like in the Ramayana, the war between Hanuman, the monkeys, and Ram against Ravana and the Rakshasas. It was because of one woman, Sita. A large reason why the battle of Kurukshetra had to take place was because of the attempted disrobing of Draupadi. When a woman is violated and disrespected, this is the worst in the eyes of a Kshatriya. Question. Virtue, profit, and desire are opposed to one another. How could opposite things exist together in this world? Yudhisthira said, when a wife and virtue agree with each other, then all three mentioned may exist together. Otherwise, when there is no virtue in the household, there's calamity. Very interesting, very, very interesting. Saying that virtue, therefore, is a very important feature of Grihastha life. So Yudhisthira here is not only talking of things relevant for the sages and the renunciates, he's also talking to the householders, he's also talking to children, he's also talking to elders. In fact, he's talking to everyone. This is why I thought that these questions were particularly poignant. I'll do one more, and then I'll have to round things off because it's actually nearly 8:30, which is the time we traditionally finish. What man truly possesses all kinds of wealth, true wealth? Yudhisthira replied, the report of one's good action reaches heaven and spreads over the earth. A person to whom the agreeable and the disagreeable, the past and the future are the same, is equiposed. That person is said to be the most wealthy. Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? The winter one who is equiposed in the winter and summer seasons, who is not distressed by the dualities of this world. Oh, it's the summer. Oh, it's the winter. Oh, I'm rich. Oh, I'm poor. One, if one is above and beyond these things, Yudhisthira is saying, that is true wealth. Detachment from being poor, that is wealth. What is the wealth of the Brahmana? Is his knowledge. Is his detachment from that knowledge. One cannot be detached without knowledge. So all these things, all these answers that Yudhisthira is giving the Yaksha are all interconnected, you see. So wonderful. I wanted to share that with you today. I thought this is the character of Yudhisthira, and the teachings of Dharma are all in those questions, actually. Eventually, the Yaksha ran out of questions. I'm done. You are great. You know, I'm convinced. And he revealed himself to be an incarnation of Yamaraj himself. All his brothers, Nakula, Sahadeva, Bhima, Arjuna, were lying there dead, actually clinically dead. And it was only Yamaraj that could revive them. He was an incarnation of Yamaraj, who said, I'm so impressed with you, Yudhisthira. The Pandavas are blessed by you as their elder brother. I will bring them all back to life again. Well, I don't know if he actually did that, but he did something. And then they all came back to life again. He did something mystical. And the Pandavas all woke up. And the funny thing was, they didn't hear the question. They just, oh, what happened? I just drank some water and now we're sitting here by, oh, hello, Yudhisthira. You're here. Okay. What happened, Yudhisthira? I said, oh, never you mind. Just, you know, drink some water and we'll go on our way. That's one of my favourite stories that we find in the Mahabharata. Of course, when the period of exile had finished, Duryodhan, of course, refused to return Yudhisthira's kingdom. As you know, of course, that's the case. Yudhisthira, even then, kept his cool. In fact, he probably saw it coming. I thought, yeah, come on, Duryodhan's not going to do me any favours. Not even much land to fit on the tip of a needle. Not even Indraprastha. I made the mistake of giving them, you know, some kind of some other place, and you made Indraprastha out of a barren desert, and everyone started going there. If I do that again, what's going to happen if I start giving you just 5 villages? You're still going to be better than me. I'm not going to give you anything. Get out of here. So, but Yudhisthira tried every diplomatic solution available to him. Numerous diplomatic efforts to retrieve this kingdom peacefully all failed. To go to war to reclaim his birthright would mean fighting. Yudhisthira didn't want to fight, but he knew it was inevitable. Even Krishna tried with his diplomatic efforts to go to Hastinapur, said, look, come on, just give the Pandavas a break, you know. Give them something, share it, you know, whatever you have to do. Cut the throne in two, whatever, you know, whatever's necessary. But no, Duryodhan said, no, I'm sorry. His envy was too great. Of course, just to kind of connect this with the verse, that one of Duryodhan's envy nature is because Yudhisthira had the arms of Krishna and Arjuna. And I'll just finish off with what happened was in both just before the eve of the battle of Kurukshetra, Duryodhan and Arjuna both went to Krishna to request the armies to fight on their side. Arjuna went to Krishna and said, you know, and meanwhile, Duryodhan also travelled to Dwarka to see Krishna. They went to, and they both actually arrived at this, I think, let's see, Duryodhan actually arrived before Arjuna actually. And Duryodhan kind of just marched into Krishna's bedchamber, and Krishna was asleep. Duryodhan just pushed the guard aside. Excuse me, the Lord is sleeping. Do you know who I am? I'm the Emperor of Hastinapur. Out of my way, I want to speak to my Lord. And he knelt down at Krishna's side. Arjuna came in afterwards and more humbly made his way into Krishna's bedchamber. Where did he sit? Where did Arjuna go? On the end of the bed at Krishna's, near to Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna woke up, saw Arjuna first, and then looked over, and there was Duryodhan, you know. Oh, hello, how can I help you, you know. Didn't the guard was like, oh. You know, the guard didn't do his job anyway. but of course he didn't mind because it was Arjuna. Oh, how can I help you? And Duryodhan said, well, I want the army. Krishna said, wait. I saw Arjuna first, so therefore Arjuna gets to choose the armies first. And Duryodhana, yeah, but I came in first, therefore I get to choose first. And Krishna said, yeah, but I saw Arjuna first. I think that's etiquette, don't you think? I'm related to both of you, I'm impartial, but I did see Arjuna first. And there he was sitting at my lotus feet. It says, okay, I'll tell you what to do, listen. Arjuna gets first choice. You can have my armies. One of you can have my armies. The other one gets me alone. And Arjuna says, Arjuna, you get the choice. Arjuna says, I'd rather have you, Krishna, actually. He says, before you choose me, that's all very well, but there's one little condition I've got to add. I'm not going to fight. I'll be there. I'll hang around. I might even drive a chariot, you know, but I'm not actually going to lift a weapon. Arjuna says, you know what? I still choose you, Krishna. You are my heart. I can't go on the battlefield without you. And Duryodhan turned around and said, does that mean I get the armies? Yes. He goes, oh, yeah, fine. Yeah, let Arjuna choose first. Yeah, fine, absolutely great. Yeah, I'll choose the armies. You can have Krishna, and Krishna could just drive a chariot or just help you, you know, whatever you want to do. But he's not. Great, great, great. No problem. The battle will commence. He storms off as happy as anything. And Arjuna, and Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you're on the back, you know, on the eve of the battle, you know, the largest battle in history, and you had the opportunities to, you know, you've only got, I think, 7 Akshahini divisions. Duryodhan, with my armies, now has 11 Akshahinis, right? He's got more than you. He's got a stronger army than you. Why have you chosen me? He says, wherever there's victory, I know there's always Krishna. Wherever there is, you always find Krishna and Arjuna, wherever there is victory. So like this. So, of course, Arjuna actually had inherited actually this, if you like, from Yudhisthira, this attitude. It's not all about, it's about dharma. It's not about physical strength. So just to finish off, because it's already 8:35. One final pastime I wanted to share with you. Of course, Yudhisthira ruled the world after the victory. And all the funeral rites have been performed for nearly 4 million warriors. A terrible, terrible battle ensued, but with Krishna's arrangement, of course, Yudhisthira and his armies won. Yudhisthira would never tell a lie, even to deceive Dronacharya. And when Dronacharya said to Yudhisthira, has my son Asvatthama been killed? Is that true? Yudhisthira, I'm not going to tell a lie. He said, well, Asvatthama, the elephant, is dead, but not his son. But Krishna arranged for conch shells and bugles to sound during the part when Yudhisthira said, Asvatthama, the elephant. So Drona only heard, Asvatthama is dead. That was enough for Drona to put down his weapons and thus be perished on the battlefield. Even then, Yudhisthira wasn't prepared to lie. But it was a white lie, actually. And still, therefore, his chariot could never float on the ground and descended to the earth. So that's a nice little pastime there. But in the end, anyway, after Krishna left the earth, after 120 years of pious rule by Maharaj Yudhisthira on the throne of Hastinapur, Indraprastha and Hastinapur. In fact, he was so good, he was so pious, that Yudhisthira didn't punish Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, of course, didn't take part in the battle. He still respected it. You are my senior. You can still sit on the throne of Hastinapur. You can still rule that part there. I'm the overall emperor. But he didn't even put him in prison or anything like that after everything. He forgave him, actually. Understood. But when Krishna left, Arjuna lost his power. When the city of Dwarka sank beneath the sea, Yudhisthira realized Kali Yuga is coming. He looked at the stars. He looked at the constellations. At night time, he could hear the howling of wolves. People started to fight. People started to... Kali Yuga was on its way. Yudhisthira, I've done my bit. I'm going to give up the kingdom and pass it on now to a younger person by the name of Maharaj Parikshit, of course, which we know. The rest is history. And Yudhisthira said, let us now retire to the Himalayas. Our pastime, our Leela, is finished. The Pandavas, plus their wife, faithful wife Draupadi, all walked, gave up the kingdom, which inevitably everybody has to do, is to give up their kingdom, to give up their house, to give up their family. And the Pandavas walked into the Himalayas. And, you know, through the cold, the snow and the wind, starving and hungry, and one by one they passed away. Yudhisthira, when it was Yudhisthira's time to pass, of course, he was in a very, you know, about to leave his body. He had one companion, a dog. Yudhisthira was so pious, when he was about to leave his body, Indra himself came on a golden chariot to collect in Yudhisthira to take him to the heavens and to spiritual world. And Yudhisthira said, "What about this dog? I can't leave this dog alone, alone, unfed. He's been my companion for all these weeks of travel. I can't leave this dog. You're going to take me to heaven, but you're not going to take the dog to heaven." And this dog was faithfully there, you know, as dogs do. And Indra said to Yudhisthira, "What? After all you have been through, you've seen your brothers die, the younger brothers died before Yudhisthira." I think Bhima was still alive at that point, being very strong. You know, Nakula, you've seen Nakula pass away, Draupadi, of course, Sahadeva and Arjun. I mean, you've got more loyalty to a dog? Aren't you more interested in your brothers? He said, "But this dog was faithful to me. I can't do that. I can't leave this. I may die, but this dog will be alone." And at that moment, the dog revealed his true form, was Dharmaraj, Yudhisthira's father himself, and said, "You have passed this test. It was me in disguise all along getting your association. Now go to heaven." And Indra, of course, personally invited Yudhisthira onto his chariot and they whisked off. There was one final test. Have we got time for one little final? I think so. One final test. You'd think that was the final test of Yudhisthira. There was one more final one. Heaven we normally associate with bliss and happiness, but actually the golden chariot was left and Yudhisthira was saying, "Actually, you're in hell. You've got to pay penance for all those people that died in the battle." Oh, that's a bit disappointing. You're in hell. You know, he saw darkness around him and hearing the screaming and suffering of others. He said, "Where are my brothers?" "Oh, they're also here." He could hear Draupadi, he could hear his brothers. Yudhisthira, stay with us, stay with us. We're in hell, but stay with us. He heard Arjuna's voice, Bhima's voice, Draupadi's voice, Sahadeva, Nakula. "Is that you, Yudhisthira? You've come to join us." And Yudhisthira said, "Is that you, my brothers?" And Indra said to Yudhisthira, "It's okay, you don't have to go. We're going to take you to heaven, but you have to leave your brothers behind in hell." What did Yudhisthira say? "No. I want to stay with my brothers. To be without my brothers, that would be hell." And at that point they said, "Yudhisthira, it was all an illusion. They're not really in hell. That was the final test. And you passed that with flying colours." And of course they went to heaven, all of them. And the Pandavas were never in hell. Of course not. Okay, I'll finish there. And there's no time for any questions, but Maharaj, if there's anything you'd like to add. Okay, so thank you. Antaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Yudhisthira Maharaj Ki Jai. Mahabharat Ki Jai. All glories to somebody devotees. Hare Krishna.